Okay, now nobody will know that I've been skipping.
Okay. So, the Gemara on the bottom of Tariches Amud Aleph records a machlokes. So let's start with that. Maish, do you want to... Okay, reading? Let's start with... Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Moshe Ben Levi. The last two words on the fifth line from the bottom of Tariches Amud Aleph. Okay, so all Yisurin in the Torah are B'shishim. Notice that in the, at least in the printed editions of the Bavli, I don't know what it looks like in the Kisveyad, they use a number abbreviation, which is really fine. The only place in Shas where it's a very bad thing, that unfortunately some places they chose to, I don't know, printers or authors chose to abridge a number instead of using writing it out, is in Erevin when you have Arba versus Arba. And that gets very confusing because Arba is Amos and Arba is Tvachim. One Zachar, one's the Keva, but you can't tell when they put Dalet. So here we don't have a problem. Although, actually, there was a situation, I forget what it was, but there are cases where B'shishim looks like it's maybe B'simen or something like that, and still learning Yoridea. So, but this is B'shishim. Okay. So the first version we have here, the Meshuda Levi in the name of Bar Kapara, is all Yisrael on the Torah are B'shishim. Okay, so Amar Lefanov.
Amar Lefanov is Shmuel Bar Yitzhak, Rabbi, Amar Kapara.
Okay, so there are two traditions, as we saw in the Yerushalmi as well, with sort of the same cast of characters. In the Bavli, it's presented as a stira as to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the name of Bar Kapara. In the Yerushalmi, I believe it was presented a little bit differently. In other words, it wasn't the exact same as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was one of them, and Bar Padaya, I think, was the other. It's clear you're talking about people, and I assume Bar Padaya is, I'm guessing, that it, either the same, an alternate name of Bar Kapara, or one of them is a corruption of the other, or something like that. You're dealing with the same cast of characters. And there are two lashonos as to whether or not the bittul is b'shishim or bittul is b'meya. Fine, that's step one. Now, again, so we're going to, I should have stated this at the outset. What we're going to try to do today is to read through maybe the entire Gemara with a minimum of reference to Rishonim, just to think about what the sugya says in order to appreciate what the Rishonim are grappling with. Okay, now there are a lot of funny shittos, funny in quotes, shittos of Rishonim that actually, you know, make a lot of sense when you read the sugya kipshuta. Okay, so now the what happens? Now who's talking now? It's very strange because it's in Hebrew, yet it would not appear. It can't be. Who are the people possibly talking now? So it's obviously. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak would be the only one who possibly could be saying this, but it doesn't make any sense because he's not claiming. He, in effect, is not claiming that there's a machlokas amoraim. He's claiming that what Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba quoted in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi was incorrect. So whoever is saying Ushnehim lo lamduha is not Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak talking. It's somebody else. In this case, the Gemara doesn't say who's talking. Now, if you recall, the Yerushalmi also had this, right? Which is why I'm convinced that this is a case where the editors in Bavel had the sugya of the Yerushalmi already. And Ushneim Olam Duha is not Aramaic, which is you would expect from the Stam. I mean, you can't build an entire edifice upon that. But given we know what's in the Yerushalmi, and we'll see the continuation, I strongly suspect that they have the sugya of the Yerushalmi, and they're quoting it verbatim. Ushneim Olam Duha, but they seem to have it. In other words, who was the Shneim? If you read this literally, in this context, who are the two?
The two manda amars.
In other words, but in effect, what you're saying is that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak both learned it from Zohar B'Shela, which is a strange thing to say. In other words, in the Ushneim Lamdu and the Yerushalmi makes more sense. Why? Because the Yerushalmi actually attributes Shishim and Meya to two independent authorities. Here, Shishim and Meya are basically two lashonos. To say Ushneim Lamdu is out of place.
They're not. In Yerushalmi also, it was Rabbi Yosei, Rabbi Yosef, B'Shem Bar Padaya, and Rabbi Chiya, B'Shem Bar Padaya. They're both coming from the same, it's both just different interpretations of the same person.
Yes, but you have two different people saying it.
One second.
Yeah, and here you have Rabbi Asi, or there it's Rabbi Yaakov.
I guess you do. I mean, I guess you...
The same Rabbi Chiyo, but she doesn't match. It seems like both these sugyas share a common background or common ancestor.
No, that's clear that they do. I'm just trying to think. See, here, by the way, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, right, says the same thing. He says Rabbi Yosei, which could be Rav Asi, has a different shita. I guess the kasha could be asked in the Yerushalmi as well. Shneim lemeidim is strange because it's not really, even there you could ask, it's not really two different opinions. It's two versions of what someone said. There's one thing that you should be aware of, which is sort of, here from a content perspective, it's strange to say Shneim lemeidim because they really aren't two shitas. Which I would say, apparently there are. At some point, the difference in quotation takes on an independent life. You should be aware of a very, very important Rashi in Ksubas Daf. I want to say Nun Zayin Amad Aleph, where the Rashi explains the Gemara saying that we have a very strong preference to have two Amoraim arguing Aliba Denafsham about a particular issue, rather than having two Amoraim argue about what a third party said. And Rashi explains, that the Gemara just says that. And Rashi explains the reason why is that when you have two Amoraim arguing about what about a particular shita, you can say Elu ve'elu devar Elokim chayim. They could both be valid ideas, valid shitas. But when you have two Amoraim arguing about what a third Amora said, from a historical perspective, he could only have said one thing. Now, of course, that's not always true because there are people who change their minds, but
isn't that like a general opinion of at least one of them of how machlokas in the in the Torah Shabbat in general developed? Is that there was one proto thing?
That's the machlokas, the Rambam, and the Gaonim. Right? Yeah. The Gaonim, whose shita is a little bit less appealing to us, I think, the Gaonim say that all the machlokas in the Mishnah is because people forgot, and the Rambam goes and that. Rav Shmuel Gaon doesn't say quite explicitly. If you want to see the issue fleshed out more fully, Binyamin Menashe Levine, in his introduction to the Geras, Rav Shmuel Gaon talks about this in the Gaonic view, which seems to be a response to the Karaites. In other words, to claim that the Mishnah is of antiquity and Machlokas is simply forgetting, but all these issues are old. And the Rambam says no. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Peirush HaMishnayis dismisses derisively the view that Machlokas emerges because of forgetting things. The Rambam says Chas V'Shalom. The Rambam says Machlokas emerges. In other words, everybody starts with the same text. The text is that B'tchila lahoya Machlokas b'Yisrael Acher Rabu Tamidei Shammai v'Hillel Shaloshim Shu Kol Tzarkan Rafsa Machlokas b'Yisrael V'Nasa Torah K'Shtei Torah. It's the Tosefta in Sanhedrin, the Tosefta in Chagiga, and it's quoted in the Bavli, I think, a couple of places. So that line becomes the Gonim say, you see, that's so Shimshu called Sarka, and the Rambam says, what are you talking about? And it means that, as opposed to everybody else, when there was a machlokas, they took a vote and they followed the majority, but Shama and Mesilo couldn't function. That's what Shimshu called Sarka means. So the Rambam says, how does machlokas emerge? Machlokas emerges because not everybody is of the same intellectual outlook, and for the Rambam, there may be superior and inferior undertones in this, and as not everybody is of the same perfect intellect. The Rambam, I think, believe with a perfect intellect, you'd all arrive at the same conclusion. Okay, I don't think he saw variability. In other words, I think he saw machlokas, or different outlooks on the world, not as reflecting two possible truths, but rather one correct and one less correct. But the Rambam says the bottom line is that not everybody is endowed the same way, not everybody sees it the same way, and that's how you get machlokas. And what happened in the time of Bisham and Bishillel is that they could no longer come to a minyan, they couldn't come to a vote, and that's why machlokas explodes after Shammai v'Hillel, right? Up until Shammai v'Hillel, you have the five Zugos and Chagiga arguing about Smicha on Yom Tov, and after that, all of a sudden, Machlokas, Shammai and Hillel had three other Machlokos, and after that, it just like explodes completely. So in a certain sense, that view, this Rashi, or the way Rashi reads the Gemara, it reflects a preference for the Maimonidean outlook to happen. It doesn't say which is right. It doesn't explain. Rashi is not taking a stand, and the Gemara is not taking a stand historically which happened. It's simply saying that it's better to have a machlokes in svara than a machlokes in citation.
But you could also, like, at least argue it out in the Gemara, as opposed to if it's just an argument over what somebody said.
Correct. So clearly, even the Rambam has to be modeh that there are cases where Amoraim argue as to what a third Amora said. But the funny thing, what's going on here, is that the Gemara takes basically what is a machlokas of citation and turns it in, and Yerushalmi does it also, and turns it into a svara machlokas. You know, it's reversing the process. Okay, so he says, Shneim lo lamdua ela mizra b'sheila d'chsev. Go ahead, Moshe.
If we look at the calling as Hazra B'Sheila, we go there. Tanya B'Sheila, Tanya B'Sheila, and B'Sheila El Shneva.
Okay, so Vitanya, we have a braisa that says B'Sheila, it's a quote of the Pasuk. Ein B'Sheila El Shleima. We'll talk about that in a moment. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai.
Ein B'Sheila El Shneva.
Okay. Now, was there a machlokas in the Yerushalmi related at all to this? Wait a second. Obviously, you look at this machlokas hatanoim. Well, what are they arguing about? Forget what the words mean. It's a strange thing for me to say. Forget for a moment what the words mean. What do we think? Because sometimes you get a sense of what they're arguing about. If it's clear what they're arguing about, and you have to try to figure out how the words mean that, sometimes that does actually work. I know that's it's counterintuitive, and it would seem to be against everything that I stand for. But sometimes you have a sense of what's being said, and then you try to figure out how does it fit in the words. But here, one shita says, Rabbi Shimon says, "Ein b'sheila ash nisbash l'mayil." That I think is at least on the surface very clear, on its own, right? Zro b'sheila min ha'ayil means the zro was attached to the ayil. You cooked it. Now you take it apart. So Rabbi Shimon clearly holds you cooked the zro with the ayil. What does zro b'sheila ein b'sheila ela shleima mean? So you may remember the Yerushalmi actually had a different take, I think, on this source. And we didn't explain this when we learned the Yerushalmi, but in the beginning of the Yerushalmi had, it quotes the Pasuk, Ksiv, Lakacha, Kohen, says, Rabbi Shalom, and Ayu. So then the Yerushalmi says, and it looks like Tana Idik, it looks like Midrash Tanoim, they're quoting here. Ibishela Yachol Bifnayatzma. If you take Zerah Bishela, you might take that to mean Bifnayatzma, meaning you cook the Zerah. Separately, Talmud Lomar min ha'ayil. No, it has to be Zerah. You take the Zerah B'Sheila min ha'ayil, which means it was B'Sheila, and now you're taking it min ha'ayil. So, Ketzad, Chotchad Shumaniach Ba Kisa'ora. You cut it, and you leave a little bit of a thread holding it together. Now, I think. I think that there was some relationship, but I'm not really sure what to do with Yerushalmi to this. Ein b'sheila ela shleima sounds like that opinion in the Yerushalmi somehow. I don't know exactly what it means. Here, I don't know exactly what it means. But what would you say, looking at this machlokas, what would you say the difference is between these two opinions? Between Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. You read the Gemara.
Certainly, the Gemara seems to understand. Don't tell me
what the Gemara is saying. What, yeah. What you, in yeah. order, see, I'm doing this not purely so we can give our own shot. I don't have my own shot in this braisa. It's a minor machlokas for our purposes, but you should presumably see Rashi and Tosos, Mar Savar, the third Tosos. We're not going to dwell on it at length, but when you read Tosos, when I first read the Tosos, I really didn't like. I skimmed it like, oh yeah, and I wasn't really thinking about what he was doing, but he was arguing with Rashi for a reason. You got to figure out what is driving Rashi. Okay? Before you look at the Bavlis, in order to appreciate what the Gemara is doing, first think about what the Braisa says.
Cook alone or cook together.
So you're thinking, now, but why would B'Sheila... So Rabbi Shimon Kuli says you cook the Zeroa with the Ayo. What would Ein B'Sheila L'Shlema mean? You're saying it means what? You don't cook it together?
L'Shlema Kilatzma. I mean, upshot would sound like eat, like without cutting off the limb beforehand.
Okay, so then the question is, how is that different than Rabbi Shimon? What do they argue about? Yeah,
like, right, you cut the limb off.
Ah, so okay, so you think what it means is that Rabbi Shimon holds that simply you cut it, but you leave it in the same pot, and the Tanakama holds it has to be Shlema. Right, which obviously means you're cooking it together.
Well, Rabbi Shimon doesn't necessarily say anything about leaving it in the same pot either. I mean, it's
just. It says nisbashla im ha'ayil.
It could be at the same time.
Oh, okay, that's pushing it. No, im. You know, that I think is a stretch. I thought what you said first initially was a good suggestion. Of course you cook it in the pot. The question is, without seeing what the Bavli said, I know you saw what the Bavli said, but Shlema, the Tanakhama says it has to be whole. Rabbi Shimon says it has to be cooked together. David?
I was just going to, I'm not sure what everyone else is saying, but I thought that the Machloki was that when it says Shlema, it means that the Zerah wasn't cut off yet, so therefore it was cooked while it was still connected to the aisle. Whereas the Tanakhama, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon is arguing that it just needs to be cooked together, and the Shlema is relevant.
Yes, well, yes, and as he says, you could cut it, but it still has to be cooked in the same pot. Okay, now, So that would be the simple reading. You're suggesting otherwise that Shlema, I don't really understand how, but Shlema means, no, it doesn't have to be cooked together. But I would argue that if it's Shlema, it's not that it has to be cooked together, it's just that physically impossible. How do you keep it together? How is it physically still attached, but you don't cook it together? Now, you could say that you dangle it into another pot. We explored this when we looked at the Yerushalmi, but... okay, maybe. No, it's not. But what you're saying is not crazy in the sense the Bavli is, in effect, going to have such an interpretation. Now, second question, before we look at the Yerushalmi's Lashonos, how does it mean in, how does B'Shela mean Shlema? So Rashi writes, Lo Nisparish Be'ez Alashem. I'm very surprised that there's no, that what's missing from this Rashi? You have to read my mind in order to know what I want, because you have to see enough. I mean, I don't know if it's seeing enough of Shafar and Kantata.
Which language does Bishalim and Shlema?
No, Rashi says, Lo Nisparish Be'ez Lashon. You should get a little note from Kiveger. And then he's going to tell you, Ayin in one place where he collects all the places where Rashi says, I don't know. There's actually a Rashi in Brachos where Kiveger collects a lot of these. It may not be exhaustive. Here, Rashi basically is saying, I don't know. He's saying, I don't know. How does Bishela mean Shlema? That's the only thing it could mean. Ein Bishela Ela Shlema. Right.
Tosis comes up with an interesting.
Hold on. So I understand. Tosis is going to. Tosis has a very creative etymology. I had a creative etymology too. I want to see if anybody came up with it. But I did. I would have expected Kiviger to say, just have a little note, because Kiviger had just tremendous bikias, and he'll collect all these things. Because, you know, Rashi saying, I don't know, it's not common. Not because Rashi wasn't humble, because he does say, I don't know, some of the time. It's just that because Rashi knew a lot. He was a pretty smart fellow. So what can any of modern linguists at least play with the Gemara could be doing with B'Shela? This should be an easy one. An easy letter swap. You have to do a letter swap and a metathesis. Beis and Mem are labial letters which will occasionally switch. I should have come really dug up the good examples. You have the same vowels. B'Shela, Shlema. You have a lamed and a shin in there, and the beis just has to migrate. Now, I'm not arguing that this is pshat, and I'm not arguing that they're linguistically related. I'm just wondering what Chazal is speaking. What I am saying is that if the pronunciation of beis and mem, which are probably more distinct than the English language, although even there, they're both labial letters. There should be good examples from. Hold on, I had one. Oh yes, the word bashan. Okay. Anyone know what it is in Uncles? So see, we're doing Gittin. I'd hold your feet to the fire, even though Bashan doesn't appear in Gittin, because there are certain places that Uncles always translates, not transliterates. Kamusnan. If you look in the Targum of Eretz Yisrael, at least Neofiti, and maybe Yonasan also, it's Busnin with a base. Which tells you, by the way, that Musnan is simply, but the Tuf and the Shin is a standard switch Hebrew to Aramaic. And the Beis and the Mem have, you know, also swapped simply because they're both labial letters. There are probably a lot of examples of this, but I didn't come collecting them. But that's the one that came to mind. So I'll grant you that if Mishela and Bishela sound the same way, if you could easily hear Mishela, then I could see why someone would say Ein Mishela Ela Shlema. Right, it's a little bit of, you know, I don't know. That's, to me, that's the closest thing you can say linguistically. That's what it is.
Do you like Tosis?
I didn't like Tosis very much. No, I mean, Tosis is really drush. Now mine is linguistic drush, but it's linguistic. So Tosis is really drush. Okay, now I think Rashi's correct fundamentally. You know, but Rashi, by the way, did sense. You could agree or disagree, and Tosis agrees with this, that it's a linguistic comment. Okay. So, Einonu Yodim, that's all. We don't know. Unfortunately, Yerushalmi here doesn't provide any clarity. Yes.
As with the, why would the Gemara feel compelled to say in b'shela el shalema? If in the pasuk itself you would say lakach akoren is rabbi shela min ha'ayil. So, I mean, if you want to say shalema, then you could obviously do min ha'ayil lemiute nifrad min ha'ayil or something like that.
Well, look, clearly the Yerushalmi, the way I explained it, the Mefarshim explained, tried to give a different explanation, that said, Ibishela Yachob Befnaatma Tomalomer Min Ha'ayil, according to the Yerushalmi, makes clear that you have to be taking it from the aisle when it's cooked already, so therefore that you cannot have detached it before.
Right.
In the Bavli, clearly they don't have this version of the Brisa. Why? How do you know they don't have this version of the Brisa? That has this notion of a lakach min ha'ayil, because there's a shita in one lashon that says that yamamish don't cook, that it's already, even both lashonos have, which is detached.
So
in one case,
the
Yerushalmi doesn't have it, I understand. I don't know how b'shela min shlema does. So now the Bavli has two lashonos, Mosh. Go ahead. How do you read this machlokas? Everybody agrees you cook it with the aisle. Okay, now, for Rabbi Shimon, that was a foregone conclusion. Right? There's no way to read Rabbi Shimon otherwise. What's the machlokas then? Mar Savar. So the machlokas is whether you, when do you cut it? But that you leave, that you cook it in the same pot, there is no doubt about that. Now, who is which? Pashtus is, who is which? Who holds that you wait to slice them? What? No. Rashi already says, you notice by that, I don't know if Rashi had a different girsa. Our Gemara says, Mar Savar Mechatechla Vahadar Mevashala. Tanakama Savar Mechatechla Menaayah Vahadar Mevashala Vahadeh. So that's a very strange reading. That's a counterintuitive. It's not the way we would have read. I would have read where Shimon holds, you cut it but leave it in the same pot. And Tanakama holds that it has to be shlema. So not only do you cook in the same pot, you can't cut it yet. So Rashi says,
where's
what?
Where's shlema be then, according to Rashi?
So he explains. Rashi says, good. Tanakana savar mechatech la min ha'ayil v'hadar mevashel la b'hadei neva'ashmu'in. And you want to know what is shlema teaching us? V'ashmu'in and shlema mevashel la v'enemechat halachaticha. So you're not allowed to cut it up into small pieces. But you do cut the ayil. It's not that the ayil has to be shlema. What has to be shlema? The Zroa has to be Shlema. Okay? Now, why is that? Now, the truth is, it does work, actually. It's clever, because the Ayil, right, B'Shela does modify the Zroa. How do I know that? Well, because it's Zroa, B'Shela, and Ayil. But even I know that Zroa is feminine, like Zroa Netuya. I never thought about that, but it's a body part, that's not surprising. And Ayil is Zachar. Okay? Literally and exegetically, the word for aisle is dichra. Yeah, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, those we missed in Yonah Dioma. When the Mishnah says Bishel Zacharim, as opposed to Ya'el, what is a Zachar? When the Mishnah says Bishel Zacharim, what does Zachar mean there? It does not mean male. Rashi points this out, by the way. It means dichra. Dichra is the Aramaic for aisle. Dichra Zachar. Rashi notes this already. So Ayil is Zachar. So that's not how we would have read. Rabbi Shimon Aslashmina the Kemoshi Muchuberis Ayil Mavashla. I don't know how you see that in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, so I don't know what compels Rashi to say this. Tosus doesn't like this. Why not? So Tosus is a different motivation. Because let's look at the next half. Iba Yaseima. Now notice the Mar Savar Umar Savar here. Which was the time? What was the order? Did it follow ABAB order or ABBAA order? This is an issue, by the way, that interests to be shown him in a number of places. When the Gemara says Ha Ka X Ha Ka Y, when they present A and B and they say Ha Ka X Ha Ka Y, is it ABBA standardly or is it ABAB? In other words, which Mar Savar goes to which? It's obviously crucial in many cases when it's not unambiguous.
According to Rashi,
I don't know which is usual, but according to Rashi, yeah,
it's
ABAB. Now, Tosos, now, in this part, now, what about the next part? V'ibay Yisema.
Mar Savar
Okay, now, according to this Lashon, how does it line up? Mar Savar. So if you say everybody agrees who chopped the leg off, the arm off, except that Machlokas is whether you cook it together. So Mar Savar, Hada Ayam of Ashala. Who's that? That has to be Rabbi Shimon. There is no way around that. I mean, I shouldn't say there's no way around that. If Rashi could read Ein Bishela Ela Shlema and say that the ayah, I guess the ayah doesn't say Shalem, but if Rashi could still read that and say that it's the Zoras Bishela and that's the Tanakh Mishita, maybe you could come up with a creative reading of this as well. But nobody's going to. So the bottom line is Mar Savar Bahadei Ayam of Ashala must be Rabbi Shimon, or Mar Savar B'Tiara Chers of Ashala, which means this is definitely B.A. So Tosa says, so if you want to understand, this is the point that Tosas made in Mar Savar. None of you may have looked at it, but he quotes Rashi, and now if you look on the third line in Tosas, the fourth line if you count the Dibur Maskil, V'hashta, read that one line, Mesh, V'hashta,
V'hashta lo have Mar Savar Kama.
Kimar, yeah. The Iko da Amrei, the Havi Rabbi Shimon. That's what Tosas means. According to Rashi, the Mar Savars are not parallel. In fact, the Mar Savars form ABBA, actually. Okay, so that's we don't have to do any more on that, Tosas. That's what Tosas's point was, just in terms of the symmetry of the Gemara.
Why is that a question on Rashi, though?
It's not a raya that absolutely, you know, completely destroys Rashi, but you would expect whichever way the Gemara is going to be, you expect the Gemara to be consistent. You can argue for the ABAB style or the ABBA style. You can pick which one, and not every sugya may follow the same way. But you would expect that in a series of Ibayis, Eima, Lashonos, and the Gemara, you expect it to be presented in a consistent fashion. At the minimum, not doing so is confusing. Okay? So in the second case, undoubtedly, is a BA. So Tosas would prefer to read the first one that way also. I think it also reads better in the Gemara. Okay. Anyway, fine. So, now the Gemara. Remember what was said after all this discussion? I may have gotten everything lost. What was said earlier? What was said is that Ushteim lo lamdua, ela mizra b'sheila. Now the Gemara. Now the Bavli says. Right. So before we get the explanation. So here the Gemara makes explicit that the Mar Savar and the Lishna Basra must be Rabbi Shimon, and that's obvious. So, according to the Lishna Kama, both Tanaim hold that you cook it together. According to the Lishna Basra, only Rabbi Shimon holds that way. So, when you say Ushtein Lalamdua, it's Aliba either the Kulei Amar or Aliba the Rabbi Shimon. Fine. Next step. Okay. Manda Amar. Okay. So this. How does this compare to the Yerushalmi? So if you remember, in the Yerushalmi said as follows. The Bavli says, in the Bavli, I'm not saying that they differ here. They differ a little bit in presentation. The Manda Mashishim says, Basar Vatsamos plus Basar Vatsamos on both sides. And that's shishim. And Mandamar B'meah says basa that you leave out that summer. So why is the ratio not still 60? Yeah.
Why would you ever presume? It would have to obviously be equal on both sides. I think. So
you mean if you take out that summer?
If you take out the summer once again, why should you be able to keep them on the other side?
Are you asking me svara wise? Because the atzamos are not iser. But they might absorb. In fact, the real question is. And we saw this here or there. What's the real question? Donnie, maybe you know from the Atzamos, which is why don't we count the Atzamos of the Yisr to the Heter? Why don't we start with the Atzamos of the Yisr? And that's the fact how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shach says we don't do that by soft bones. The Shach takes a compromise, and this is Machlokas Arishonim. But the Pashtus and the Yushalmi, not in this Yushalmi, but in the Yushalmi about Klipe, I mean, it is the Yushalmi here, Klipe Yisr, or Malinus Aheter, is that the Atzamos of the leg should be mitzdarif with the atzamos of the body to be mevatel the yisr, to be mevatel the tam of the zroa. Okay, but putting that aside, the Bavli says you take out either you count the atzamos of both or you leave out the atzamos of both. Either the atzamos have flavor and absorb flavor or the atzamos don't have flavor and don't absorb flavor. Now, why does the proportion switch from 60 to 100? Shouldn't it remain the same? So we pointed this out, which is that the four legs of an animal, when you cut them, you know, from the second joint, not from the top, have very little meat on them. And therefore, if you strip out the basar, the proportion of the basar drops more than when you take the rest of the aisle and you take out the bones. Okay, that's not a great shock. Rashi, I think, makes that comment. Fine, but the Yushalmi said initially, the Manda Amar says that no state tamechem nimea, you take the atzamas out of this roa. And the Manda Amar that says shishim, you don't take the atzamas out of this roa. And then it has a line, then the Yushalmi says that you might have thought that just as you motzi the atzamas from the zroa, you're also motzi the atzamas from the ayil. And so the Yushalmi says no. The Yushalmi quotes that statement: Ein tinofes shel truma mitzdarefes in matruma lahalos es achulin, aval tinofes shel chulin mitzdarefes em achulin. So at least they quote initially a brisa or some memra that the atzamas of the heter are mitzdarfin with the heter. So basically, then you don't have to explain that the bone is punier than the other parts of the body. Just say that the mandamar that says b'shishim, you count the bones of the zroah as iser. The mandamar b'meah, you just don't count the bones of the zroah b'meah, but everybody counts the bones of the body. So that's where the Yushalmi seems to come out a little bit differently than the Bavli. Okay, fine. This seems to be the end of the quotation of the Yushalmi. It's the end of the sugya and the Yushalmi, in effect. And now we get to the discussion in Bavel. Now, be very, very careful here, because you have to consider what is it that the Amoraim in Bavel have in front of them of the previous discussion. What I mean by that is, we had this lengthy extrapolation, from this Braisa, with some of the discussion, which is either from the Yushalmi or from the anonymous layer of the Bavli. And now, the Amorayim of the fourth generation I'm going to be talking about, Abaye and Rava. You have to think about what are Abaye and Rava responding to. I say that in particular because if you got to the end, I don't say that just stam as an academic exercise, because when you get to the end of the sugya, you're going to get on Netzadi Tesamar Aleph, Yosef Ravdimi v'ka'amar l'hashmaitza. Ravdimi sat there and he presented the sugya. Amar le Abaye. It doesn't matter. Presumably he's a contemporary or a Talmud, this Rav Dimi of Abaye. Amar le Abaye, and Abaye asked Akasha.
He's obviously contemporary because he's talking to Abaye in this story.
I understand. So what I'm asking you is the following. When you get to that point of the sugya, he tells over this sugya to Abaye, and Abaye asks Akasha about Meya and Shishem and so on. What sugya is he telling over to Abaye? So hold on one second. Let's see when we get there. So now, this is stage one in the sugya. Stage two. And when you learn stage two in the sugya, you know that there are basically three repetitions. Right? It's the same. Did you guys get the tzadi test? No. Did anybody get the tzadi test? Okay, well, you want to let him read? Turn it over? I mean, unless you want to read. So you're going to see that there are going to be three repetitions style of question and answer. So let's read them very slowly to at least prime you for Seder tomorrow. Go ahead. Vehotanya. I'm sorry, me. Can you actually learn from Zerah B'Shela? Now, before you look at the Gemara, why the Gemara asked the question, let me ask you a question. Can you actually learn in Dinim Shishim and Meir from Zerah B'Shela? Why not? Excuse me, Mr. Goldberg. Excuse me. The Torah says you cooked this roa with the ayil. That should tell you something about tam. It should tell you something about bittul. The fact that the Torah tells you to do so and permits you the zara to eat it does tell you something. Or does it not? Why not?
Well, I mean, as the Gemara says, it could be yes. It could be
no,
an exceptional rule.
I didn't ask you what the Gemara says. I want to know what you said. It's actually what the Rishonim all say, but it's an obvious question that you should be asking based upon your knowledge without reading on the Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't even ask the question. What's the problem?
There are four Zeroas.
What?
There are four Zeroas.
Really? Have you been doing Frankenstein experiments in your bio lab in the basement of Herstal Hayim?
No, there's...
No, personally, the Zerah B'Shela only has the din on the right foreleg. Zerah is only the front two legs, and it's only the right foreleg. There's only one Zerah. All that would do, Chaim, that would be change your proportions.
Well,